Good morning.
Good morning.
I have information I have researched, and some of you may find this interesting and some may find it a bore. So hopefully there'll be some tidbits throughout the day that will interest you. Number one, the Bretton Woods Agreement created the International Monetary Fund in 1944, which is now the World Bank. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Also, the cost of an 11-ounce box of cornflakes in 1944. Any guesses? 8 cents. That is correct. That's all you get for now. We got to spread all this out. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Thank you, Shannon. Okay. We are very fortunate to have with us today our national representative, Jim Gasso. Jim, I will give a longer introduction this evening, but Jim has been a longtime Federationist, if you want to know something about Social Security, Randolph Shepherd, and a bunch of other stuff, Jim is the man. So, but he's here with us this weekend. We are very honored to have him with us. Let's give Jim Gasso a big hand for our national report.
All right, I love that song. I love that song. You finally got good news. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth. Grab a cane, get trained. Gotta get moving. Make a change in the wage. That's what we're doing. Come with me. All right, let's sing it. Live the life you want. Gotta be in view. For the sun and break on through. So you're blind, you're blind. We got good news. Live the life you want. We know the truth. All right, you guys, this is great. You know, you're sitting over here and everybody gets introduced with a song and you wonder, what's going to be my song? So that's great. I couldn't think of a better one or a more appropriate one. Oh boy, this is fantastic for my wife Susie and for me to be here at your 75th convention. What a deal. Now, I don't think there's anybody in the room that was a member back in 1944, right? How about in 56? How about in 56 when the Aurora Club joined the National Federation of the Blind? Nobody yet. How about in 69? When we had, what did we have in 1969? Okay, National Convention was in Columbia. Now, how many people were at that convention? One person back here said, right? Who are you? Oh, okay. Oh, a member of the Federation. Well, then I hold the record because I was at the 69 convention. Yeah, sure was. It was really fantastic. It was a fantastic convention. It was also Mark Maurer's first convention of the National Federation of the Blind. It wasn't my first. My first was 1965 in Washington, D.C. So I missed one. That was the following year when I had to work in the summer, and they, you know, when you get a summer job, they don't want to give you time off to go to a national convention. So I had to work that summer, and I managed to get to the other ones while I was in school during the summers, but not that one. So I just had one in our convention in Las Vegas, just had my 54th national convention, 54. So I bring you greetings from Mark Riccobono, our national president, Mark Maurer, our immediate past president. I just, in shorthand, refer to them as the M&Ms. For those of you who know Mark Maurer's predilections, he always has a jar of M&Ms on his desk. So I always think he'll probably appreciate being there, referred to as the M&Ms. I also come with much remembrance of our president emeritus, Don Capps, and of course, Betty, who passed within the past year. But Don and Betty have certainly been among my mentors, and that's true for a lot of you, among our mentors in this movement. I mean, all the years that I grew up and actually worked in our national office, there was Don at Dr. Jernigan's elbow helping to guide this organization. So we come with great appreciation for the leadership that Don and Betty have provided. I should say a word about Susie. This is her first NFB of South Carolina convention. Not her first rodeo in dealing with South Carolina, however. Now, those of you who don't know Susie, she's a lawyer. That may cause you some concern in the very beginning, and it should. Likes to say, Frank mentioned that I know something about Randolph Shepard, which I used to know something about Randolph Shepard. I still say I do, but I don't know as much as my wife does. When I met her, which was about 12 years ago, she was the deputy attorney general in Hawaii, assigned to services for the blind, specifically for Randolph Shepard. And she likes to tell you that she has whipped every branch of the military. You know, we have these cases about troop dining, the really big facilities, huge ones. And of course, the Randolph Shepard Act covers these. Anyway, she's whipped the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, name the Academy, and she's beat them. And on behalf of the state of South Carolina, she beat one of those agencies. I think it was the Marine Corps that wanted to establish a multi-state procurement of dining facilities and cut out the Randolph Shepard program altogether. Don't know exactly whatever became of that case, how it got implemented, but I do know this, the decision was favorable to blind people, and that's what she's been able to achieve. And so beware. It's helpful to be on her side. Reflect just a little bit on our last national convention, which was truly, truly awesome, I thought. And you guys had 102 people there. you just broke 100. But you know what? Next year is going to be closer. Well, it's still 1,000 miles away. But it's closer. And I did a little calculation. You know, if you had 102 people and it was 2,175 miles away, which is from Columbia to Las Vegas, at only 1,000 miles, you ought to be able at least to double. Figure it. Just figure it. Yeah. And we probably have 200 people here. Really, seriously, we could get from South Carolina a couple of hundred people, I think, at next year's national convention. And if we're going to do that, you're going to have to start planning right now to make that happen. Because it doesn't happen by deciding in the last week or two. So make your plans. I kind of think of it this way. You know, for years we were in Orlando. We kind of bounced back and forth between Dallas and Orlando. And we got to an attendance of around 2,500 people each year, right around there, 24, 25, maybe as high as 2,600. This year, here we were, 3,284. Tops was New Orleans, 3,300. We were, gosh darn, we were 16 from being the highest one ever. I think that we have, I'm going to be very positive here. I think we've established the new normal now, that our high is going to be around that 32 and 3300 mark. And if we're going to achieve that, we're going to need a couple of hundred people from South Carolina to make that happen. So, so Frank says, you got it. And I got it. Now, for those of you that didn't make the convention this last year, you know, you can get the audio highlights. And I want to, obviously, one of the highlights would be the presidential report. It was a fantastic report, as usual. But any single year, I could get up here and say, wow, what a great national report we had from our national president. And then he gets up and does a better one the year after. And I don't know how you can do it. That's why he's the national president and I am not. Now, but it really, really just gives you so much appreciation for the breadth and scope of our movement. And once again, the banquet speech. This year was choice, exploration, and resistance, the road to freedom for the blind. Now, I don't tweet very much, but I've started to get into social media, and I decided to tweet about the banquet speech. I didn't tweet the whole banquet speech. I'm not sure how you do that, but you'd have to be tweeting a lot and not listening, I think. Some people can do things like that, but I did tweet about this, and I put out the word that this was our freedom manifesto. And I really think it is. You need to read that speech if you haven't. And I'm gonna go back and listen to it again, because it obviously doesn't, you know, the first time you hear it, it has one impact, but in the future it'll have more of an impact. So you can get that. All you have to do is go to the nfb.org website and search for National Convention 2019. And on that page, you can get audio highlights, the actual audio highlights of what went on. So if you weren't there particularly, do that. And even if you were there, go back and relive some of those experiences that we had in Las Vegas. Okay, other events coming up. We have Meet the Blind Month coming up in October. The things just never quit. I know South Carolina likes to be early and get their convention in before everything else happens, and I think it's a great idea. We start having in September the other fall conventions. But then right away in October, we have Meet the Blind Month. This is a challenge for all chapters represented here in the room to carry on at least one or more activities for Meet the Blind Month. It's a great time. You know, it kind of started with the idea of October 15 being White Cane Safety Day. And now we extend it to the whole month. White Cane Safety Day, by the way, is proclaimed by the president. This is pursuant to a national law passed in 1964, signed by President Lyndon Johnson at that time. And year after year after year, the president proclaims October 15 is White Cane Safety Day and comes out with a proclamation. But we celebrate blindness the whole month of October, and we refer to it as Meet the Blind Month. So it's a great opportunity for our chapters. That's you guys, our chapters, not just me now. It's not Frank and me up here talking about what we're going to do. I'm talking to you about what you're going to do in October to make sure that we outreach and to collect this information about what's going on. It's real helpful to get the national picture. So we receive information from the chapters about this at the following website, which is web@nfb.org. And if you send in your chapter information about we did blah, 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 maybe a brochure handing out at a health fair, maybe something at the public library, maybe appearances in the schools. You think it up. I don't need to list out the things. I've just given you three that are obvious. But going to civic clubs would be another, the Rotarians, the Kiwanis, etc., and making sure that we take at least this month of the year with high levels of outreach to the public about what we're doing. We've got the Washington seminar coming up. So South Carolina always has a good representation there, but we'll need you there for the 2020 Washington seminar. And that's going to be slightly later this year, February 10, 2020 to February 13, 2020. Who knows what the whole calendar is.
Sorry. Michael.
There we go. All of a sudden we're speaking. Okay. All right. Now we're back to where we need to be. So that'll be at the Capitol, Washington Capitol. What do we call that? The Holiday Inn Capitol, 550 C Street, Southwest. In Washington. Other things that are coming up that you need to plan on. We're giving you this info so you can plan your year, your Federation year. Remember, we have scholarship awards. Now, we want to award some of these scholarships to blind students in South Carolina, don't we? All right. Do we have some past scholarship winners here? Yay! All right. Every year we award scholarships to the 30 finest blind students in America. And we give out over $100,000 in scholarships when we do this. The application period begins November 1, 2019 and ends March 31, 2020. I chair the Jacob Blotin Award Committee. Now, the Jacob Blotin Award, if you have never read the book, The Blind Doctor, the Jacob Blotin Story, you need to read that book. Blotin was a truly awesome guy. I always remind everybody when we get started giving out these awards, that he came up before there was any rehabilitation, before there was any National Federation of the Blind, and he became a medical doctor, and he was blind since birth. And do you think that people told him he couldn't do that job? Of course they did. Of course they did. And the more they said no, the more he said yes. Well, that's the spirit of the National Federation of the Blind. The more they tell us no, the more we say yes. And that's what Jacob Blotin did. So I refer to him as a Federationist before the National Federation of the Blind, but he truly was. We give out $50,000 per year to exemplary people and projects that somehow show the spirit and tenacity of Jacob Blotin's life. The application period begins November 15, 2019 and ends April 15, 2020. And we will be happy to recognize a person or persons, a project or projects from South Carolina, but we can't do it if you don't nominate them. So you've got to nominate them. We don't know as much about what's going on as you do. So please think about that. Some points about building the Federation come to mind that I want to talk about, because there's nobody going to build the National Federation of the Blind but us. And in recent times, we've emphasized more and more and more some of our tools of building the Federation. For example, if you take a look at our website, nfb.org, and probably true of the South Carolina website, but if it isn't, I know Steve Cook will make sure that it is, information about joining the National Federation of the Blind. You cannot see a page at nfb.org that it doesn't have a link to how you join the National Federation of the Blind. We're actually putting online a new member form. The best way to find that form is to do a Google search, is what I did, and it's all one word, new member form. And then if you continue the search with National Federation of the Blind. So if you write the word, with single word, new member form, and follow that by National Federation of the Blind, the first search result you will get in Google is our new member form process. Everybody that joins your local chapter, you should fill that out, because that way they go in. We've got this thing at the national office now we refer to as the unified database. It's been one of these mythical things that's been coming year after year after year. Well, the year is here. The unified database is here. But it won't grow if you don't fill out that new member form. Everybody that joins your chapter, fill it out. Also, give them the coin. How many of you got your coins here? Hey, I got my coin right here around my neck. NFB of Virginia, I hate to say it wasn't South Carolina, but NFB of Virginia sold me a thing and sold Susie a thing, both of us. We've got our coins around our necks. It's a holder that you put the coin in, and there it is. I wear it at all my Federation events. We're starting a new thing through the national office, and you could emulate this at the state as well. These are Get Acquainted NFB conference calls. They're going to start this month in August. The first one is August 18 at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. The next one's going to be September 18 at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And then there will be calls on other going forward. But these are designed to introduce new people to the NFB. So if you have somebody that you have been thinking ought to join this organization for a long time, but they just won't do it, and you don't feel that you're able to reach them enough, or for some reason haven't achieved what you'd like to with them, invite them to register to be on one of these calls. Now, we do want them to register because we need to know. We only have so many slots on the system to do it. So the first ones get in. You can register by phone in advance by calling the general number at Baltimore and extension 2509. Or you can simply write an email to membership@nfb.org and just say you want to register for one of those calls, and you can do that. Next point about building membership and building awareness of the National Federation of Blind is our new PSAs. I know South Carolina has some PSAs too, at least one or more, but we also have national ones. If you go on the national website, you can get these, download them, get them played on your local media. This would be a great project for Meet the Blind Month, wouldn't it? And I think now some of our chapters in South Carolina will take that on. These are available in English and Spanish as well. Spanish media could play these PSAs if you outreach to them. Use these as a new recruitment tool. They would be great. Now, you know, I'm going to move to a slightly different topic because as our world has become more and more complex and there are more and more capabilities, so to speak, in the 21st century, as opposed to the 20th century, which is where most of us came up, there are more and more ways of keeping up with what's going on in the National Federation of the Blind. You know, when I was a kid and growing up and for most of my days in the Federation, about the only thing we had to keep up with the Federation was the Braille Monitor. Well, we still put that out every month, but it is not our only means. For years ago, Dr. Jernigan started the presidential releases. We now have the presidential releases in English, but also in Spanish. And we have transcripts of the presidential releases available for the deafblind. So you can get these transcripts off the internet at nfb.org and provide them to our deafblind members. We've got Twitter and we've got Instagram. We didn't have Twitter and Instagram but about 10 years ago, I imagine, and now we've got Twitter and Instagram. I get an awful lot of my Federation information from Twitter because NFB tweets, and one of our great guys that came up as a youngster in the National Federation of the Blind, Chris Danielson, creates a lot of the, yeah, let's hear it for Chris, creates a lot of those tweets. And he tweets at @NFB_voice, @NFB voice. We've got a Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/National Federation of the Blind. We've got a YouTube page, which is called Nations Blind. We've got podcasts. We've got the Nations Blind podcast. The latest of the Nations Blind podcasts is talking about challenges for blind youth going back to school, what to plan on and things like that. So we've got a Parents of Blind Children podcast. You can get these on your podcast catcher, whatever your podcast catcher might be. Could be a Victor Reader Stream, it could be an iPhone, it could be Alexa. How many people have Alexa? Okay, you can get the podcasts on Alexa. I'm not going to go into the details of how you do that, but you can get that information by looking at our nfb.org website. We have a blog on nfb.org. You get that blog by going to nfb.org/blog. That's pretty simple. And the latest blog, Chris Danielson wrote the latest blog. You'll enjoy it if you read it. It reflects on his growing up in the National Federation of the Blind and how Frank Koppel drug him to his first state convention. Frank and Ed Bible, and they brought him up the way he had to go, and they also brought Parnell Diggs with him. And so, you know, but things go on. So we have lots and lots of tools. And Parnell, I have in my notes that that was back in 1989. Okay, all right, good. Good, how about that? You know, the Federation history runs, and the Federation spirit and philosophy and so forth runs deep in the soil in South Carolina. The traditions are deep here. You can see it in this meeting today. Some other points about our Federation outreach we'll be talking about throughout the convention, but of course we have our tagline, live the life you want. We heard the song. We have our 1 minute message. Now, I'm not going to ask you all to recite the 1 minute message, but it's important to know these things. Branding has become very, very important. Our branding used to be a little pin that said security, equality, and opportunity. That was easy to remember. Now we got a whole brand architecture. And that darn Chris Danielson is responsible for a bunch of this. He really promotes it. So listen to him. The 1 minute message. The National Federation of the Blind knows that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. Every day, we raise the expectations of blind people because low expectations create, a lot of you know this, obstacles between blind people and our dreams. You can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back. Now, you know, really, guys, that's pretty good. But that says, in a few short words, what we are doing. And it says a whole lot more than our old thing, security, equality, and opportunity used to say. This is what branding is all about. So pay heed to the 1 minute message, but there are other parts of our branding that I'm not gonna go through them all, but there are articles in the Braille Monitor that I wanna point you to. January, March, and May of 2018, and January of 2019, all have detailed articles about our branding. Please read them. Our code of conduct, it's a very important, this is a different subject than branding. Our code of conduct, it's a very important component today of the National Federation of the Blind. Again, as our society has become more complex, there are challenges that we have to meet and rise to that are impacted by things that happen in our broader social context. So the National Federation of the Blind has stepped up and developed a detailed code of conduct. It is something that we should all look to for our social interaction with our fellow Federationists, but also just really good ways of behaving in an organizational context. We should be proud of the National Federation of the Blind leadership for bringing this forward and taking the lead in developing a very solid code of conduct and procedures for being sure that it is observed. We're not just talking, we're actually doing. And so, for example, at the national convention that we just had, you know, there were telephone means of getting a hold of somebody for help if there was a code of conduct issue that came up. And I don't happen to know of any, but I'm sure we had some. Anytime you get 3,000 people together, you're bound to have somebody that goes off the tracks. Maybe every time you get a couple of hundred people together, you're bound to have somebody that goes off the tracks. We hope not. But anyway, more code of conduct information is at nfb.org/code-conduct. By the way, tug at me if you need me to be quiet, Frank. Oh, okay. Well, in 2 minutes, I need to talk about legislation. Oh, gosh. Give me five, Frank. Give me five. All right. So, you know, and I used to do the legislative work, and now I put it down to the end of the last 5 minutes. Well, we have bills that are very important in the Congress. The one thing I want to say about South Carolina and in respect to our current legislative efforts. And we look at these from the point of view of getting members to co-sponsor things we're working on. South Carolina has a perfect record. Hang on, you guys. South Carolina has a perfect record. We got 3 or 4 bills in the Congress, and South Carolina has no co-sponsors on these bills. You're going to remedy that. That's why I bring it up. You're going to remedy that. One of them, and all of these affect us vitally. The technology, the Access Technology Assistance Act. This calls for a tax credit of $2,000, which you can use over 2 years to purchase access technology. You know, not to name products exactly, but screen readers, the Braille device I'm using, Braille note takers, right? You know, all those kinds of things that cost so much money, and we have to pay extra money to be able to use a computer for. Well, we're looking for a tax credit to help out with those expenses. And this is a $2,000 refundable tax credit. So if you don't owe any tax because you don't have enough income to owe any tax, you can still get money back from the government for these expenditures. That's what refundable tax credit means. Believe it or not, this bill is sponsored by the chairman of the Select Revenue Measures Subcommittee on the House Ways and Means Committee. And so we have strong support from the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee in the House, Richie Neal. So the bill is H.R. 2086 in the House. Mike Thompson of California is the principal sponsor, and we have 24 co-sponsors. And the bill in the Senate is S.815. John Bozeman of Arkansas, Republican of Arkansas, is the sponsor. Now, you guys have Republican senators. You don't have any Democrat senators anymore. And you can get these Republican senators to co-sponsor S-815. We have 14 Senate co-sponsors currently. We need for all of us to go out and get more. We have a bill called the GAIN Act, which is Greater Accessibility and Independence through Non-Visual Access Technology. And this bill, that all says GAIN, and this bill speaks to the problems we have in accessing digital displays, such as home medical equipment. You know, I have a blood pressure monitor that I try to use every day. I got one from our national independence market that speaks to you. But most blood pressure monitors that you get don't speak to you. They print out a little LED screen. How about the home appliances that you can't operate because everything's behind a touch screen? That's when I asked Susie to operate the whatever it is, microwave or whatever. Shouldn't ought to have to do that way, you know, to set a complex oven. We ought to be able to set our own complex oven. And applaud that because it's important. All of these things are important. And if we let our society just go the way it's going to go, we will be on the outside looking in. We will be on the outside looking in. Same thing applies to fitness equipment. The treadmill that you want to go on or the elliptical, all the things that, you know, you can't figure out because there's no way to set them. Maybe you can work it out so you can do the manual setup, but you can't do all those complex exercises that are supposed to be good for you. Well, we need equality, we need standards, and we need enforcement of those standards to make these displays accessible. HR 3929, which was recently introduced by Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, she's in the House leadership from Illinois, has two co-sponsors. It was just introduced on July 24. The Transformation to Competitive Employment Act, and that is ending the subminimum wage. We want to get rid of that subminimum wage. One day we're going to get it done. We're getting closer and closer and closer to getting it done. The bill is H.R. 873 in the House of Representatives, introduced by Bobby Scott of Virginia. Now, he is chairman of the House Education and the Workforce Committee, or Education Labor, whatever they're calling it nowadays. So he's chairman of that committee. There are 51 co-sponsors of that bill. And in the Senate, the bill is S-260. And that's introduced by Bob Casey of Pennsylvania. There are 7 co-sponsors. Both bills call for ending the subminimum wage over a period of 6 years. And it would then go away, be phased out, and go away completely. I'm going to end this. We're gonna make this happen. Actually, in the 2016 election efforts, both political parties in their platforms called for ending the subminimum wages. So, folks, don't just stick around and watch it happen. Make it happen. Make it happen. And when we can do that. But it won't happen on its own. I trust you, even if you're not immediately affected by it because your wages aren't lower because of it, we are all affected by the social stigma that comes from such a repressive policy. Any repression of one blind person is repression of every blind person. Just a word before I quit about the PAC plan. South Carolina has $880 coming in each month on the PAC plan with 51 people giving. New York has $949. You guys can pass New York. Less than $100 a month would pass New York. That's a couple of people on the PAC plan. Less than $100 a month would pass New York. You could pass Ohio if you wanted to, and they're at $958.50. I'm not going to go up too much higher than that, although I know you guys could. But you got that. Now, licking at your heels. Remember I said $880 a month. Licking at your heels is Utah, $879 a month. So they're about ready to pass you by. And that'll put South Carolina down from 14 to 15, and then they'll sink below that because the next guy below will get them. And South Carolina, you just won't be performing like you're capable of. So bring it, step it up, step it up. I'm sure Frank will find ways for us to sign up these forms this weekend to get you on the pack plan. If you want me to sing the song, I can do that. Get on the pack plan. All right. You don't really want that. No. The movement has to be done so all our battles can be won. Get on the pack plan. Sign up today. We need your contributions right away. Funding our movement has to be done so all our battles can be won. Good, 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 good. Dreammaker Circle. Dreammaker Circle, when you get ready to be done on this earth, think of those of us who aren't done yet. And so we got the Dreammaker. Well, no, I'm serious about this. The Dreammaker Circle. We even give you a plaque nowadays to put on your wall. So if you need a little something to remember that you're in the Dreammaker Circle, because it gets harder to remember things as you go along. The Dreammaker Circle is one thing to join. And get a hold of Patty Chang at our national office for this. P Chang, P-C-H-A-N-G at nfb.org for details on the Dreammaker Circle. But this is putting the NFB in your will or some instrument that leaves money when you're gone. When your car is gone, you can give it away under our vehicle donation program. You don't have to just take it out the junkyard and get rid of it, or where anybody's car gets done. Let them know that the National Federation of the Blind has a vehicle donations program. We get $300 or $400 per vehicle every time we get a vehicle donation, and it's coming up. So nfb.org/vehicle donations, one word, nfb.org/vehicle donations. Frank, I'm going to quit. Chris gave me a lot longer report than this, but it is so, so nice to be with y'all in South Carolina. We'll be talking to you later on. Thank you very much.